Hello, and welcome back to the Automotive Podcast. I hope you are having a great day, and in this episode, I'm going to be talking about a very interesting, very little car that dominated in Group B rallying. This car is the Peugeot 205 T16, and it is in fact the most successful Group B rally car of the era. And this may surprise some people, because when people think of Group B rallying, they think of the Audi Quattro, the Lancia 037, maybe the Ford RS200, but none of these cars were actually the most successful. That goes to this little French hot hatch of a car. Perhaps the main reason that most people aren't aware of the success of this car is that it found its success in the later half of Group B rallying. It was not there at the beginning, it didn't revolutionize the rallying world the way the Audi Quattro did. It just kind of took those ideas and put them in a better combination that provided extremely good results. So while it is not a car that pushed forward massive changes, it is a car that took those changes and really utilized them to their fullest potential. So the development of this Peugeot 205 T16 directly correlates to changes within the Peugeot company as a whole. It was the early 1980s, and at that time, Peugeot was making relatively large cars. These were saloon-type cars, such as the 505, and compared to, like, American cars, they really weren't that big. But relative to European cars, which usually are much smaller, these were kind of large-ish cars. Peugeot wanted to change that. They wanted to start developing smaller cars that were in demand at the time. This was also the time that there's some really confusing company trading, company buying, different companies being absorbed by other companies. Involves the Chrysler-owned European divisions, a company called Simca, and a company called Talbot. The trading of companies and the ownership is all pretty confusing, but the key outcome was that Peugeot gained control of companies that had experience in two things: small cars and rally cars. Peugeot had already started the development of a smaller car, it was called the 104, but with these new companies at its disposal, Peugeot was looking to continue the development of these super mini cars, and the first of these super mini cars would be the 205. The company of Talbot was the one that really brought rallying experience. Talbot had helped develop the very successful Sunbeam Lotus, which had won the 1981 WRC Manufacturer's title. The Sunbeam Lotus was also a hot hatch type car. So the idea that Peugeot had was that they were going to combine these two new ventures. They're going to make smaller cars available to the public, and at the same time, produce a rally version of that car to promote the car and increase sales. This type of promotion through races is extremely common. Tons of companies do it. And the key to this type of promotion is that the rally car needs to be tied to the production car, mostly in looks, so that when someone sees this car dominating in rally, they can then go to their dealership and see, quote-unquote, the same car available for purchase. Obviously, the one being sold to the public is not actually the exact same car as the rally version, because no one needs that kind of power or performance if they're just looking to use it as a daily driver. So the key component is it needs to look like the same car. And Peugeot did this incredibly well. The rally version of the 205 looks pretty much identical to the production version, despite them being very different cars. The production 205 is a front-engined, front-wheel drive car, not a very competitive platform. The rally version, again, needed to look the same, but would be mid-engined and all-wheel drive. Technically speaking, this makes the rally version of the 205 a silhouette car, meaning that it only shares looks with a production car, and this was very common at the time. Even more impressively, the cars don't even share the same chassis. The rally version got a purpose-built chassis, but they molded the body panels and everything to fit this different chassis, but look pretty much identical to the production version. Official development of the 205 rally version, which is actually called the 205 T16, started in 1981. However, at that time, during its development, it was called the M24-Rally. The engine of this car is kind of strange in the fact that it is actually based around a diesel engine. However, this diesel engine would be given a dual overhead cam head that was designed to utilize gasoline. This engine would be an inline four and would be turbocharged to get a little bit more out of this pretty small engine. The exact displacement was 1,775 cubic centimeters. However, it should be noted that for Group B rallying, the rules applied a multiplier of 1.4 if the engine was turbocharged. So just a theoretical example, if you had an engine with a displacement of 1 liter competing in Group B, and you chose to turbocharge that engine, technically speaking, the rules saw that engine having a displacement of 1.4 liters due to the multiplier. This was to balance people that chose to have larger displacement engines versus people that chose to have turbocharged engines. It was supposed to kind of equalize the playing field a little bit. So this multiplier was applied to the 205 T16, making it have a quote-unquote rule displacement of 2,485 cubic centimeters. This was designed to just be under the maximum of 2,500 cubic centimeters, allowing the car to be as light as 890 kilograms or 1,960 pounds. This turbocharger shoved in 21.5 psi of boost pressure. So that's a lot of pressure, and it's what really allowed this engine to produce a significant amount of power. The engine was also given a technology called DPV. This is an anti-lag system that was taken from turbocharged Formula One cars. However, this system was pretty basic and not all that effective. So early days of the 205 T16, most drivers chose to brake with their left foot and give gas with the right foot to keep the RPMs high and to keep the turbo spinning to reduce turbo lag, because the actual technology to do this didn't actually work super well. This engine was also given mechanical fuel injection and had dry sump lubrication. Suspension for the car was independent on all four corners. Despite the engine only being an inline four and being a pretty small engine, it was still a bit of a pain to get mounted in this very small chassis. The main reason for this difficulty was the fact that they wanted the car to be mid-engined. This was seen as an upgrade over the already competitive Audi Quattro, which had its engine in the front. This mid-engine configuration required that the engine be mounted transversely behind the two front seats. On top of that, to lower the center of gravity, the transmission was going to be mounted next to the engine, not under the engine, which is very common for transversely mounted engines. Even today, cars that have transversely mounted engines usually have the transmission underneath the engine. It just gives a really small and compact bundle for them to work with. It doesn't require much space if the engine and transmission are literally stacked on top of each other. So for non-performance, high-production cars, there's a big advantage in having everything configured in this way. However, for performance cars, it is not a good idea as it lifts the center of gravity, and that makes the car easier to tip. So if you're really pushing a car around a corner quickly, and you're trying to push as hard as you can, you probably don't want it likely to tip, and so anything that can be done to lower the center of gravity is usually a good choice. In the 205 T16, this means that the engine is mounted directly behind the passenger seat, and the transmission is sitting directly behind the driver's seat. The transmission itself was a 5-speed manual. This car was developed very quickly, with the first one running just 14 months after development had started. But of course, it would not be a rally car if the company developing it didn't struggle to produce the 200 road-going versions required for homologation. Pretty much every car I've researched that was involved in Group B rallying struggled to get these 200 road-going versions out there, and Peugeot was no exception. If Peugeot wanted the 205 T16 to compete as soon as possible, they needed to make 200 road-going versions in just 8 months. Little unsurprisingly, that wouldn't happen, and the 205 T16 would have to be delayed a year before it could compete in Group B. However, the car still needed to be tested, and the team would take full advantage of this delay, entering the car as a prototype in the Milles Pastis Rally. This first race would go well, with the car taking second, a result the team was happy with. Although it should be noted that the car that raced in this rally was not a full-bred 205 T16. It was instead a road-going model, so really, second place was a very impressive result, as this was a pretty detuned version of the car. During this testing, it was found that the 205 T16 had a fundamental problem that could not be fixed unless the entire car was reworked from the ground up. This problem had to do with the position of the engine being directly behind the passenger seat. It was found that due to this weight being on one side of the car, whenever the car hit a small jump and would go up into the air, the car would actually rotate and be unpredictable as it flew through the air. This couldn't be fixed because the entire car was designed around having the engine mounted in that position. It was just something that the drivers kind of had to deal with. So if you look at images of the 205 T16, while in a jump, you can see that there is a slight rotation to the car. If you'd like to see one of these images, I have it posted to my Instagram. But despite this, and despite that being a pretty sketchy thing that the drivers had to deal with, this car was still impressively dominant. It pumped out a very healthy 350 horsepower, it weighed almost nothing, it had an all-wheel drive system, and the mid-engine configuration allowed for great weight distribution. During the 1984 WRC season and into the 1985 season, the car would achieve 6 wins in a row and was so dominant that the Audi team reworked the Quattro in an attempt to stay competitive against the 205 T16. Despite this pretty instant success, Peugeot did not rest, and they went straight into massive upgrades for the car for the next seasons. These upgrades included aerodynamics to help remove that rotation during jumps issue. They added a new turbo, they added an air-to-water intercooler, which provided a massive boost in power, up to 550 horsepower. They also improved the DPV anti-lag system, which was made fully electronic. They also added a shorter geared 6-speed transmission that was designed to reduce turbo lag, as shorter gears makes it easier to keep the engine high up in the RPMs, which translates to keeping the turbo spinning, and so there is a big reduction in turbo lag. The chassis was also made stiffer during this time. One of the crazier upgrades was a system that allowed the suspension shock absorbers to have their temperature be controlled by the co-driver. A sensor was mounted on the shock absorber that would send a reading to a temp gauge in front of the co-driver. If the co-driver saw that the suspension was too hot or too cold, he could hit different switches to either warm the shock absorber using engine coolant or cool the shock absorber using a water tank mounted in the car. This is very impressive, as keeping the temperature of the shock absorbers is very important for them to continue functioning as need be through a very long rally stage. So this system really helped increase the reliability of the car. And as I had mentioned earlier, this small little French hot hatch would end up being the most successful Group B rally car ever made. Despite its relatively short amount of time in the sport, the 205 T16 would win 16 rallies, 2 manufacturer championships, and 2 driver championships. Better than the famous Audi Quattro, which would win 13 rallies and 1 manufacturer's championship. This is even more impressive, as the Quattro competed in more seasons than the 205. The 205 would be competitive up until the end of Group B in 1986. When Group B ended, Peugeot was not happy, and that's understandable. They had an incredibly impressive car that was getting amazing results, and suddenly the rug got pulled out from underneath it. Suddenly this car had no race to compete in, and that kind of hurt Peugeot. The car would continually be upgraded for the proposed Group S category. This was a group of rallying cars that was designed to replace Group B. Unfortunately, Group S would never come about. So the upgrades for the 205 in what was called the Evolution 3 weren't really used to their full potential. However, since they had the car, Peugeot looked for any other races that the car could compete in. The 2 main races that this car would move to would be the Dakar Rally and Pikes Peak Hill Climb. The version of the 205 that was designed to compete in the Dakar Rally was called the Grand Raid 205. It had a reinforced chassis, it had a massive 350-liter gas tank, which is about 92.4 gallons. Its engine displacement was increased a small amount, although it should be noted that this Dakar Rally 205 didn't actually push out that much more horsepower than the Group B version. It pushed out around 360 horsepower. This was done for a couple of reasons. The first was simply reliability. The Dakar Rally is much more about endurance and just having the car last, and so the cars don't need to be just ridiculously powerful. The second reason was that there are cheaper fuels available in Africa, or lower quality fuels available in Africa where the race was taking place. So with the not so great fuels, it was harder to push power up, and if they did push power up, it became more unreliable with the not so great fuels. These Dakar Rally versions of the 205 would do very well, competing for the first time in 1987. 3 cars would enter the race. One would retire with engine failure, one would finish 5th, and one would perform an incredible comeback. When the race started, the driver accidentally tore a wheel off, and the car had to be repaired, and obviously that takes a long time. By the time the car was going again, it had dropped back to 274th place. That car would work its way all the way back up to first place overall throughout the race. It was incredible, and the first season that these cars competed, they would take the overall win. This would be the start of Peugeot dominating in African rallies. Unlike its Dakar rally counterpart, the Pikes Peak version of the 205 T16 pushed out incredible amounts of power. This car was also given a slight increase in displacement. It was given a variable geometry turbocharger and a new air-to-water intercooler. This poor little engine was given 43 PSI of boost. I have no idea how this engine didn't just explode with that much air being shoved into it. But somehow, the engine handled it and took all that air and produced an incredible, officially rated 550 horsepower. However, it is believed that the actual power figures were closer to 600. Again, this car is tiny. It barely weighs over 1,000 pounds, and it is pushing out 600 horsepower. On top of that, this car was actually made lighter for the Pikes Peak. Since it didn't have to meet any rules that it had met in Group B, it was stripped down and made even lighter. I bet this thing was actually terrifying to drive. To help somewhat, perhaps, aerodynamic elements were added to the car very last minute, as almost all other competitors were taking advantage of aerodynamics. These additions made a big difference and allowed the car to stay stable at high speeds. Sadly, however, the 205 T16 would never actually win at Pikes Peak. It was extremely competitive, but due to mechanical issues, it would lose to Audi. The next year, Peugeot would create the 405 T16 from the 205 T16, and the 405 would be impressive and win in 1988 and 1989, but technically speaking, the 205 T16 would never actually claim a victory at Pikes Peak. This little car looks incredible. It has to be one of my favorite Group B rally cars. It's so little, it's kind of cute, but it is a monster, and it really showed how much of a beast it was. It is the most impressive car in Group B. It stayed competitive throughout its lifetime into Pikes Peak, into the Dakar Rally. It was the perfect combination of weight distribution with lightweight overall, big amounts of power, and strong handling. It is probably one of my favorite cars, and it is just a very cool, very well-built, very impressive vehicle that really showed off its prowess. That's going to be it for the Peugeot 205 T16. I hope you enjoyed. If you'd like to support the podcast, the number one way to do that is to leave reviews and to follow the podcast on whichever platform you are listening. Also, recommending the podcast to a friend or family member who you think would enjoy it means a ton. You're also welcome to follow me on social media. My Instagram is automotive.podcast, my Twitter is at automotivepod, and my Facebook is at automotivepodcast. I post car facts and will let you know about upcoming episodes. Other than that, I hope you enjoyed, and I will see you next week. We'll be right back.